Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Big Sean.
We're Fifth Harmony.
What's happening? This is Adam Levine from Maroon 5.
I'm Calvin Harris.
Yours truly, Jason Derulo.
Hi, we're One Direction, and this is
Gary Hoffman.
This is Selena Gomez.
This is
Shannon Farron.
This is Rihanna.
Gary.
What's up, guys? This is Justin Bieber.
Shannon.
And you are behind the scenes.
Gary and Shannon.
You regret it now, but it's your mistake. What makes you think that my mind will change? And you hate that you know, you know, you know, you know you messed up. One day you'll love me again. One day you'll love me for sure.
What is that smell? Is that the new Purell out there?
So
it's got a weird odor to it.
There's two issues with it. Number one, it smells funny.
Yeah.
Second is it's one of those automatic stands where you throw your hand under it and it senses that your hand is there and it goes weegee and it pumps out whatever it
is. It's like a fire hose, that thing.
Weegee, but it's clogged. Like some stuff has dried in the middle.
Yeah.
So it's like shooting out two separate streams, and they both go away from your hand.
We got that thing on eBay.
So as you come out of the bathroom and you feel like, hey, washing for my 20 seconds wasn't enough, or 2 minutes, or however long you're washing your hands for, and you're like, hey, I'm going to antibacterialize myself just to make sure. Throw your hand under there, and it goes, yeah, and it just on the. It doesn't hit either. It doesn't hit a hand. It just falls the 4 feet or whatever it is to the floor.
So what did you do?
Well, the first time I stuck my hand under there and it went, I said, oh, I see what you're doing. So I stuck both hands like this.
Huh.
And it went, and I got it. And I put it together and I antibacterialized myself.
Well, you were all in handle stuff, so...
I don't know whose idea it is to allow him space, like,
like to live.
Well, I mean, when he walks in the morning, the room is set up in a certain way. But when he walks out, it's as if Isaias has come in here with him and thrown everything. It's like a bomb had gone off in Beirut with 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate.
Yeah, should we just start calling him that? Ammonium nitrate? Or Isaias? Hey, Isaias. Lebanon's government has blamed that large quantity of poorly stored ammonium nitrate for that massive blast. It looks like 100 dead right now, but more than 4,000 injured. That death toll is sure to rise.
The image of the crater that was left. Brian Suits actually posted it earlier today, a before and after, where the long, flat warehouse where this stuff was stored is just gone. It's just disappeared. And the crater that was left that has then, of course, been filled in by the water since it was there at the port. Pretty amazing.
This is used as an agricultural fertilizer, also in explosives for mining, but it's been used in improvised explosives. Oklahoma City bombing. The 2002 bombings in Bali. That was used in the terrorist attack for Anders Breivik in that 2011 shooting and bombing attack.
Well, to keep it in perspective, the Oklahoma City bombing, I think, was only about 2.5 tons. This is 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate that blew up, which explains the amazing, puts a positive spin on it, the astounding images that we saw of the actual explosion, where it just destroyed the entire area when it blew up yesterday?
Well, yesterday was not a great day for the president with the airing of the Axios interview the night before. And then yesterday it was digested by everyone with the president saying things like, I don't know John Lewis. He didn't go to my inauguration. I've done more for Black Americans than anyone. Well, Joe Biden swoops in and grabs all the headlines today.
Man, he was doing an interview. It doesn't even air until tomorrow, the full portion of it. And that's bad news for Joe Biden and the campaign because he's going to look old and addled. And in fact, that was the question. Are you old and addled? Do you need to take a cognitive test? He was talking to the National Association of Black Journalists and the National Association of Hispanic Journalists in a big, long Zoom call. So this was the question and the follow-up, 90 seconds of uncomfortability.
Mr. Vice President, your opponent in this election, President Trump, has made your mental state a campaign topic. And when asked in June if you'd been tested for cognitive decline, you've responded that you're constantly tested in effect because you're in situations like this on the campaign trail. But please clarify specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There can be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness.
Oh,
and,
boy.
To make a judgment about who I am.
The Democrats need to put him away, like put him away and be very careful.
Do you remember when John McCain was running for president? There were a lot of people who were suggesting that his choice of vice president was going to be the make or break thing for his campaign. And he chose a virtual unknown in Sarah Palin at the time. When he had the opportunity to choose someone like there were rumors that Joe Lieberman was going to be his running mate, which would have been an interesting cross party version of some sort of moderation when it came to politics. But apparently there's no taste for that. This is dangerous what we're doing. This is dangerous. The idea that these are the two best people to run this country. I'm not talking about some fantasy land cartoon version of the United States of America. This country. These are the two best people we have. This is ludicrous.
It really is embarrassing. Joe Biden will not be traveling till Milwaukee to accept the nomination because of the coronavirus.
This whole thing is...
You have to understand, we first went through Russia.
This is all BS.
Somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one.
Yosemites.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
The hell are
What are we doing?
I'm moving.
Yeah, where do you go to get away from this,
Country.
Well, no one's allowing me in right now because we have the COVID. But once that clears, I'm moving.
I'm going with you.
Great, let's go.
Gary and Shannon will continue.
I mean, I know there are birds out there, but we need to crack these windows.
Can we open these windows?
Well,
is that something we could do?
There's a thing here.
You know what I would like to do is do the show from the balcony on the fifth floor.
Mine is a vent panel. This window over here says it's a fire department vent panel.
Okay, that's in case the building is on fire.
Right, but that also means that it's openable.
We'll try to open it.
I can't because there's a fake window in front of it. There's the sound.
So we have to crash through the first window to get to the vent.
Yeah.
I think that would be frowned upon.
Safe, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know about safe, but
hey, fire marshal.
I think it would be frowned upon. Yeah, those birds, though, are huge. The ones that come up on this ledge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The FBI right now is at Jake Paul's house.
Good.
Ha-ha! Over in Calabasas. Related to an ongoing investigation, the FBI hasn't said exactly what it is. Jake Paul apparently threw a big party over the weekend also with a couple hundred of his closest friends. Everybody walking around licking each other and stuff, or whatever you do for a YouTube star's party.
Will we have college sports this afternoon?
This afternoon, maybe. Who knows if we're going to have college sports in any way? We know that some places have decided to just say there will be none of the big ones. Like, I think it's UConn has come out and said they're not going to play football this fall.
Looks like NCAA's board has directed schools and conferences to figure out their own S. Each division is directed to determine its ability to meet the requirements to conduct these fall championships. And then there are a bunch of different requirements. Bunch of safety theater things.
I'm not sure exactly which. Is this going to be one of those situations where we talked about this with baseball? If the Marlins coronavirus thing had spread to other teams in the East, would they have shut down
that whole division,
just the American and National League East, and allowed the other 20 teams to play? And it's a question worth asking. Thankfully, it doesn't look like we're going to have to get to that point. But would the NCAA be okay with just the SEC playing and the Mountain West Conference? And I mean, I don't know what their thinking is, other than they have set up a couple of deadlines. One is August 14th. Each division must determine no later than August 14th the eligibility accommodations that have to be made for student athletes who would opt out of participating, or for those whose season was canceled or cut short because of the virus. And then by the 21st, I think it is, they have to determine whether the sport season would even occur. This is very different than what we saw on the high school version of this. California Interscholastic Federation had said all fall high school sports will be pushed until December or January, whichever start date comes in, and then they'll try to layer everything together for the spring, very busy sports season. They have to allow athletes in the NCAA, they have to allow athletes to opt out.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about the liability.
Well, and clearly they wouldn't lose a year of eligibility depending on which, you know, sport they're in and how important it is. I wonder, though, if they lose a scholarship, if they're the...
They do not.
They don't lose their scholarship.
No. All student athletes must be allowed to opt out of participation due to the concerns. If a college athlete chooses to opt out, that individual's athletic scholarship commitment must be honored.
They can't require student athletes to waive their legal rights if they are going to participate, which means, I suppose, they could eventually sue the school if they did get sick. And then member schools have to cover the COVID-19 related medical expenses for student athletes. So now what the NCAA did basically is just kick it down to the individual conferences and even on a more granular level, the schools themselves to figure out if they're going to do it. Because, hey, you might not have LA schools involved in the Pac-12 this year, but there are other places, Oregon State, Washington State, Colorado, I mean, they may get involved because they feel like their numbers are low enough and they have enough of a handle on COVID-19 that they're not going to spread it amongst their football teams.
It's probably just going to be like we've seen in the other sports so far, starting and stopping and people having to sit out for a period of time, despite the fact that they may be some of the biggest stars. Do you see the story about Matt Stafford having a false positive test?
Yeah. What if they just pushed it back by a month, or even pushed these decisions back by a month?
Well, that's what they were hoping NCAA would do, is just wait and see. But this is such a vague outline of the guidelines.
Yeah.
It's almost no guidelines at all.
They're just covering their ass at this point, right, Telling everybody else to make the decisions.
Exactly. All right, coming up next, What You Watching Wednesday. Have you seen the trailer for Ratchet on Netflix, the show about Nurse Ratchet?
Oh, my gosh. Did you see what has been canceled now because
yes.
of the pro?
Yes.
I also have some good 80s TV show news for you.
Oh, I love that.
Reboot.
Oh, I know what it is.
What? Don't give it away.
Can we play the theme song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gary and Shannon will continue in just a moment.
Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Did you see the Twitter hackers bail hearing was, hacked?
This is the guy that was getting all the Bitcoin, pretending to be the big name accounts.
Yes, and apparently during this Zoom hearing, it was hacked into with porn, rap music.
Of course it was.
The judge had to halt the proceedings.
The president has said he's going to consider delivering the Republican convention speech from the White House. I do think that's not going to happen. I think someone is at least going to inform him that's probably not the best use of a public property for partisan political purposes.
What?
That's why he got in trouble for the news conference in the Rose Garden a couple of weeks ago when he went after
Joe
Biden. He doesn't care, but the party cares.
It's a perfect backdrop, though.
Potentially, but I think the party's going to convince him otherwise. Joe Biden also is no longer going to travel to Milwaukee to accept the Democratic nomination. Of course, we know that the conventions have been moved, or at least theirs was moved from July to August and then went mostly digital. They're going to do all of it in a very scaled back virtual form this year. A couple of weeks.
Well, the trailer for this Ryan Murphy series, Ratchet, is out and it does not disappoint. Sarah Paulson is the star of this show, and it looks like she knocks it out of the park. This is the origin story of Mildred Ratchet, of course, the villain of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's set in 1947, and Ratchet follows Mildred as she looks for work at a psychiatric hospital in Northern California, where new and unsettling experiments have begun on the human mind. They say on a clandestine mission, Mildred presents herself as the perfect image of what a dedicated nurse should be. But the wheels are always turning, and as she begins to infiltrate the mental health care system and those within it, Mildred's stylish exterior bellies a growing darkness that has long been smoldering within.
This is so she is obviously the lead in this, Sarah Paulson is, but you've got people like Cynthia Nixon, Sharon Stone, Vincent D'Onofrio, Amanda Plummer. All of them in this. It premieres in the middle of next month, but I think you're going to see a lot more about this even before it comes out. A lot of early talk about it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Guess who's coming back?
Yes. Can you see the van rounding the curve?
The New Jersey Turnpike. Tony Danza is going to get a brand new life. Ha!
All the dopamine releases.
Yesterday, he confirmed via Twitter, I'm excited to bring the Maselli family back to television. Hashtag who's the boss? A throwback photo of he and actress Alyssa Milano also starred in the series, of course, as his daughter. Both of them set to reprise their roles for the show, which is going to follow the model of, they said, Full House into Fuller House, if you remember. Alyssa Milano's character is now a single mom living in Connecticut House, in the Connecticut House where the film was, or the movie, TV, sorry, was originally set. Judith Light and Danny Pintaro are not currently attached to the reboot.
That's crazy. So, yeah. You've got to have Judith Light in there. She looks incredible, by the way.
She was in the Politician, right?
Yes. She is. I just cannot believe how great she looks.
And Katherine Hellman died just a little more than a year ago.
So she can't be in it.
She's not going to be probably
available.
Not going to be in it anytime soon. Disney Plus is going to pick up, or I guess be the platform for Mulan. Disney announced yesterday that it's going to debut the live action Mulan on Disney Plus on September 4th.
It was going to be a theatrical release.
Right.
So this is why this hit the headlines so hard. It's going to be $29.99.
Oh, wait. There's more. I mean that you have to pay more because of the $12.99 or $7.99, however much you're paying for Disney Plus.
Right.
So this is on top of that. Now, if people balk at this idea, I think there's a weird mental block here.
Yes.
Because I said this before, when I wanted to watch, I still haven't seen The King of Staten Island, that Pete Townsend. Pete Townsend?
No. Pete Townsend is a singer.
Pete Townsend's from The Who?
Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson. Why I haven't seen that yet, I don't know. It's $20.
Here's
if my
why.
Wife and I were to go see it, it would easily be 35 or 40.
This is why. Do you have satellite radio?
No.
No, because you've never had to pay for radio. So the idea of paying for something that you always got for free is really hard for people to get over. If you've been able to stream movies, I mean, that's not for free. Netflix charges
right.
once a month and all that. But,
you don't think about it.
And when you think about putting down money for something to stream, you're like, eh, I've never had to do this before. Why am I doing it now? It's a very human reaction.
I wonder if we're just going to give up the ghost when it comes to theatrical releases. Because there's a couple, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. When you've got like Top Gun Maverick that's been pushed back again and probably won't open until July of next year at the earliest, do they just go, you know what, screw it. We're going to do a Thanksgiving release. We're going to make a bazillion dollars, although it's half of the bazillion that they would have made if it was in the movie theater.
Well, I think that that's why all of the studios will be super focused on how well Mulan does. If people are going to get over that hurdle of buying a movie that they then stream for $29.99, will people pay the money? And I think if people do get over that hurdle, you'll see more people move away from their plans to have a theatrical release.
Mulan was a $200 million movie also.
Yeah.
That is going to be hard to make up, depending on how it goes. Maybe enough attitude has changed that they can make some money on that thing.
Kindergarten Cop is the latest bad guy.
Why? Because it's pro-cop?
Yes. It's celebrating its 30th anniversary this year.
The Northwest Film Center in Portland, Oregon, planned to open a drive-in movie series with Kindergarten Cop.
But locals voiced outrage.
Well, I would say at least one. I don't know how many of them were like, I am going to burn the city down if I have to watch that piece of crap. Lois Levine criticized the Northwest Film Center, tweeting that this is a weird time to revive Kindergarten Cop. She sent a letter to the Willamette Week and said, it's true it's only a movie. So are Birth of a Nation and Gone with the Wind, but we recognize films like those are not good family fun. They are relics of how pop culture feeds racist assumptions.
Okay, Kindergarten Cop is about Arnold Schwarzenegger as an undercover detective who works at a school in order to catch a drug kingpin. And spoiler alert, he ends up loving it so much that he quits the force to become a teacher. It's a cute, from what I remember, it's a cute little movie about Arnold being doofy and the kids being super endearing yeah. and him being endearing to them. And I don't remember it being pro-
Well, the cops
Police
win.
The
cop wins. Is that pro cop?
What do you mean the cop? Oh, the cop puts the
he gets the bad guy. Yeah. yeah,
I don't remember. I don't remember the particulars of what the crimes were. But the
kid's dad was a bad dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the kid's. That was the kid's
it was
dad.
A kid. Yeah,
he
yeah.
was trying to come get the kid. Wasn't he trying to like abduct his son or something?
Something like that
from the school.
Here's the other thing.
They had that fire drill.
They were going to.
With that ferret?
Wow.
They
Apparently
had a ferret?
We needed to go to the Kindergarten Cop expert
it,
over there.
Isn't this the movie where the kid says something about the sex parts?
Yeah, because yes. somebody's dad was yeah. a gynecologist
yes.
or something.
Yeah, boys have
the same
a penis and girls have a vagina or
where
something
Arnold
like
complains
that.
He's got a headache and the kid's like, it's probably a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
Oh, that's right. It's all coming back to me now.
See, this is... Now, it's different to say Birth of a Nation and Gone with the Wind. They're not, you know,
That's
they're relics of how
different.
Pop culture feeds racist assumptions. If you watch Gone with the Wind, do you come out of it and go, oh, wait a minute, racism is a good idea? Or even Birth of a Nation, which is just a ham-handed movie. It's a horrible look at it. I don't know. I, the idea that this is then turning people into racists.
I don't think you can compare Gone with the Wind's depiction of slavery and Kindergarten Cop.
She did.
I don't think that that's a fair comparison. All right, coming up next, we've got the first coronavirus romance TV show that we've all been waiting for. Say no one.
Yeah, and a look back at 20 years of dating on television.
And how we're a sick people.
Gary and Shannon will continue. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the numbers, California state COVID numbers. And now they say, oh, remember that part where we're like, oh, things are looking up. It's because we're underreporting our cases.
U.S. testing for the COVID is dropping even as infections remain high and the death toll rises by more than 1,000 a day. They say it is a worrisome trend. Officials attribute this to Americans getting discouraged over having to wait hours to get a test and days or weeks to get the results. The number of tests per day slid 3.6% over the past 2 weeks.
We're in the middle of Whatcha Wednesday talking about what's going on TV, and there's a new coronavirus romance TV show out there.
Nobody was waiting for this. It's called Love in the Time of Corona. It's from Freeform, and they have debuted the first 30-second teaser of Love in the Time of Corona. And I don't know why you'd want to be entertained by reality right now. It's a four-part anthology, and they say it's going to be like Love Actually or Valentine's Day or New Year's Eve because it's going to follow different, you know, people in different situations. So it stars Leslie Odom Jr. and Nicolette Robinson, a real-life couple, as a couple who've been dealing with some issues, but apparently have decided to use this downtime to have sex.
To get down. Tommy Dorfman and Rainey Qualley, platonic roommates trying to find love while isolated from the real world. Gil Bellows, Rhea Kildstedt, and their daughter Ava Bellows. As a family whose daughter is home for college, despite the fact that the parents are secretly separated. L. Scott Caldwell, as a woman whose husband is unable to return home from his rehab facility.
That sounds so uplifting.
God, what a horror.
What? I mean, good Lord.
The two nights of wrist slitting right there.
Yeah, this reminds me of that movie. Was it Jennifer Aniston, The Breakup, where it was like an hour and a half of a couple fighting? Like, why am I watching this?
Possible. Washington Post also put together a revealing and disturbing story of America told through 20 years of reality dating shows.
It basically we don't have time right now to get into it, but it basically breaks down all of the reality romance shows going back to 2000's Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire and how these shows have ruined people's lives.
Well, there's a couple on there that I thought were worth mentioning. One of them is Playing It Straight. If you remember this from Fox about 15 years ago, it was that five straight men and nine gay men pretending to be straight compete for one woman's affection. If she picks a straight guy, they each get $500,000. If she picks a gay guy, he gets $1 million. She gets nothing.
So the gay guys have the incentive to act straight.
Right.
Or whatever that is.
Three episodes. That lasted three episodes before they canceled it.
My favorite was the breakdown of Temptation Island, which I watched circa 2001. And they talked about Mandy Lauderdale. She was 22 years old, and she agreed to participate in a dating documentary with her boyfriend. She says she was unaware of the show's true premise, where they would fly these couples to an island and then have a bunch of single people scantily clad hanging out with the couples, and you can imagine the temptation that would exist. She says she just thought it was a dating documentary. That's how they sold it to her. And then she says, we should have known with the STD tests that something was up. Yeah, Mandy. Yeah, you should have.
Did you remember that one of the, I guess you could say, spinoffs of The Apprentice was a show called Donald J. Trump Presents the Ultimate Merger?
I did not remember this.
12 men vying for the right or privilege of dating Omarosa.
What was his infatuation with Omarosa? I mean, she was like on several of his reality shows.
I don't know. She didn't seem...
Wasn't she on board in the beginning of the administration?
Oh, yeah.
And then didn't she turn on him and write a book?
Absolutely.
Good Lord.
She seems stable. When we come back, we'll talk about the school waiver issue with the state of California. L.A. County's not going to be allowed to have any school waivers because of the incidences of COVID-19, but we'll explain that whole situation and why it is that the numbers that looked so good over these last couple of days might not be reality.
All good news.
Nah.
On Gary and Shannon. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We talked about it a little bit in the beginning of last hour. Joe Biden pushing back at people who say he should take a cognitive test to disprove the president's claim that Biden is not fit for the Oval Office.
Come on, man.
Got a little testy when that CBS News correspondent, Errol Barnett, asked him about the matter in a recent interview.
It was all bullshit.
I'm depressed.
This is so bad. There's got to be something that takes our minds off of it.
And it's foggy today. So
why is it foggy?
Seasonal
it's August.
Affective disorder.
More like, say it.
No, it's your joke.
Say it.
Own it. Wear it.
More like foggist. Am I right? Nothing?
You listen. You can do better.
Thank you for your belief in me.
The LA County, you know what I am excited about is a book that your wife recommended that I ordered. That's exciting when you have a book on the way
is that
you're eagerly that anticipating.
Is that the one they're talking about for book club tonight?
Yes.
Are you going to come over?
Well, I haven't read it yet, so I don't want to hear about all the spoilers. But she says that she can't believe it actually was published.
Why?
Because it's so
dirty?
I'm not sure. It's called All the Ugly and Wonderful Things by Bryn Greenwood.
Huh. She doesn't talk to me about books.
Anyway.
Yes.
The LA County Department of Public Health has said that it would not consider any applications for waivers enabling elementary schools to reopen.
So they were late on this. The governor had suggested we would see these a while ago, the rules, the guidelines for granting school reopening waivers. Finally, the Department of Public Health came out with them and indicated that counties with case rates above 200 cases per 100,000 residents should not even consider them. And in L.A. County right now, we are at, I think this says 355. The state website puts it at 338 cases per 100,000. So we're well over the 200 threshold that they're looking for. There's plenty of places that do have numbers below that. In fact, Imperial County, which 2 weeks ago was you know, the hotspot in the country, is below 200 cases per 100,000. So they have the ability to apply for these waivers. Here's the thing. The way they're going to do this is you've got to have not just simple safety plans in place for whichever schools you're going to do. You've got to have consultations with parent groups, with labor and community organizations at the school sites, the detailed plans on maintaining social distancing, keeping campuses clean and disinfected. Health screenings, staff training, all of that stuff, it all has to be posted publicly. And you have to include whatever criteria would exist for you to then shut the school back down. So if you've been working over these last couple of weeks in administration or teaching or whatever, this is what you've been doing. This should not be a surprise to you. And I would be, shouldn't be surprising that schools are going to have these plans ready to go.
Hey, what do you think? We were talking about it earlier.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
About the testing down 3.6%, the number of tests that people are doing. And they attributed that to long lines waiting to get tests and the delays and the results. What do you think about the effects of people wanting to go back to school and the impact of that on not getting tested? Because if you're not getting tested, then the cases go down.
Oh, I don't think that's a... That's a
I mean,
weird...
not like... I mean, it's almost like a subconscious thing.
Well, maybe subconsciously. I don't know if there's... Because I would think it would be hard to mount a campaign like, hey, guys, no one
no,
get
I don't,
tested.
No, I don't think it's so a campaign. I think it's just like a personal feeling that a lot of people share.
I don't
just
know.
Getting schools back to normal, getting sports back to normal.
Just like ignoring the problem?
Yeah, exactly.
The Diocese of Orange, by the way, the waivers can only be considered in counties, like I said, where they meet that certain threshold of under 200 cases per 100,000 people. So that means L.A., San Bernardino, Riverside County are out as of right now. In Orange County, however, they are accepting applications for elementary schools. The Diocese of Orange, for example, plans to apply for the waivers for their elementary age students. The San Bernardino Diocese has 30 schools. They will not. They will instead go towards online learning. So the California Teachers Association has opposed the waivers. That's not a surprise. The unions we've seen are adamantly opposed to getting teachers into schools and getting kids back in the schools also. And that's a frustrating thing. And perhaps most frustrating about the argument is I understand it. I understand why they don't want to go back. They believe that there are – that these are going to be dangerous places to go back to. But the safety guidelines that have been suggested by the Department of Education and the California Department of Health are seemingly – I don't want to say over the top, but it seems like they've got a pretty good handle on what school could look like and reopen safely. Especially in California where, I mean, one of the guidelines is literally open the windows. Keep the door open.
Right, or have outdoor classes.
Outdoor classes.
That's what I keep envisioning because schools have tons of outdoor space and it's California, so you can be outside in the fall. All right, coming up next, it looks like we've had some technical issues when it comes to the case numbers here in California, that the test result data may be flawed. Also, your chance at $1,000. That's nice.
That's a bright spot.
It sure is.
In an otherwise crappy foggist day.
Foggist day.
It's just so foggisty.
Isn't it? What day is it? Wednesday?
It's Underwear Day, isn't it?
It's National Underwear Day. And
celebrating.
Me too.
Yeah.
Everyone else celebrating too?
Yep. Underpants.
Why are the boys quiet?
I don't know. They're not being...
Kids?
Yeah. Hey, Nick.
They're totally not.
Surprise you.
Steve Gregory's in there doing tricks.
Oh, sorry. Steve's distracting.
Yeah. Are you celebrating
Steve,
National Underwear Day,
don't you have
Day,
a
Jacob?
Story you can go do?
Apparently we're not entertaining enough for Mr. Gregory.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently,
he's
we're
bored.
Not either.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, Steve.
He's fine, actually. He's working on a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
we'll
sure he is.
We'll go get to work.
The Jacob and Nick story.
You know, what? Chris and Carlo's not in there clowning around.
One foot in front of the other. One foot in front of the other. We have these.
and Shannon. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We talked about it a little bit in the beginning of last hour. Joe Biden pushing back at people who say he should take a cognitive test to disprove the president's claim that Biden is not fit for the Oval Office.
Come on, man.
Got a little testy when that CBS News correspondent Errol Barnett asked him about the matter in a recent interview.
It was all bullshit.
I'm depressed.
This is so bad. There's got to be something that takes our minds off of it.
And it's foggy today. So
why is it foggy?
Seasonal
it's August.
Affective disorder.
More like, say it.
No, it's your joke.
Say it.
Own it. Wear it.
More like foggist. Am I right? Nothing?
You listen, you can do better.
Thank you for your belief in me.
The LA County, you know what I am excited about is a book that your wife recommended that I ordered. That's exciting when you have a book on the way that you're eagerly anticipating.
Is that the one they're talking about for book club tonight?
Yes.
Are you going to come over?
Well, I haven't read it yet, so I don't want to hear about all the spoilers. But she says that she can't believe it actually was published.
Why?
Because it's so
dirty?
I'm not sure. It's called All the Ugly and Wonderful Things by Bryn Greenwood.
Huh. She doesn't talk to me about books.
Anyway.
Yes.
The LA County Department of Public Health has said that it would not consider any applications for waivers enabling elementary schools to reopen.
So they were late on this. The governor had suggested we would see these a while ago, the rules, the guidelines for granting school reopening waivers. Finally, the Department of Public Health came out with them and indicated that counties with case rates above 200 cases per 100,000 residents should not even consider them. And in L.A. County right now, we are at, I think this says 355. The state website puts it at 338 cases per 100,000. So we're well over the 200 threshold that they're looking for. There's plenty of places that do have numbers below that. In fact, Imperial County, which 2 weeks ago was you know, the hot spot in the country, is below 200 cases per 100,000. So they have the ability to apply for these waivers. Here's the thing. The way they're going to do this is you've got to have not just simple safety plans in place for whichever schools you're going to do. You've got to have consultations with parent groups, with labor and community organizations at the school sites, the detailed plans on maintaining social distancing, keeping campuses clean and disinfected. Health screenings, staff training, all of that stuff, it all has to be posted publicly. And you have to include whatever criteria would exist for you to then shut the school back down. So if you've been working over these last couple of weeks in administration or teaching or whatever, this is what you've been doing. This should not be a surprise to you. And I would be, I think it would be, shouldn't be surprising that schools are going to have these plans ready to go.
Hey, what do you think? We were talking about it earlier about the testing down 3.6%, the number of tests that people mm-hmm. are doing, and they attributed that to long lines waiting to get tests and the delays in the results. What do you think about the effects of people wanting to go back to school and the impact of that on not getting tested? Because if you're not getting tested, then the cases go down.
Oh, I don't think that's a... That's a
I mean,
weird...
not like, I mean, it's almost like a subconscious thing.
Well, maybe subconsciously. I don't know if there's, because I would think it would be hard to mount a campaign like, hey, guys,
I don't think it's a campaign. I think it's just like a personal feeling that a lot of people share. Getting schools back to normal, getting sports back to normal.
Just like ignoring the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
The Diocese of Orange, by the way, the waivers can only be considered in counties, like I said, where they meet that certain threshold of under 200 cases per 100,000 people. So that means L.A., San Bernardino, Riverside County are out as of right now. In Orange County, however, they are accepting applications for elementary schools. The Diocese of Orange, for example, plans to apply for the waivers for their elementary age students. The San Bernardino Diocese has 30 schools. They will not. They will instead go towards online learning. So the California Teachers Association has opposed the waivers. That's not a surprise. The unions we've seen are adamantly opposed to getting teachers into schools and getting kids back in the schools also. And that's a frustrating thing. And perhaps most frustrating about the argument is I understand it. I understand why they don't want to go back. They believe that there are – that these are going to be dangerous places to go back to. But the safety guidelines that have been suggested by the Department of Education and the California Department of Health are seemingly – I don't want to say over the top, but it seems like they've got a pretty good handle on what school could look like and reopen safely. Especially in California where, I mean, part of one of the guidelines is literally open the windows, keep the door open.
Right, or have outdoor classes.
Outdoor classes.
That's what I keep envisioning because schools have tons of outdoor space and it's California, so you can be outside in the fall. All right, coming up next, it looks like we've had some technical issues when it comes to the case numbers here in California, that the test result data may be flawed. Also, your chance at $1,000. That's nice.
That's a bright spot.
It sure is.
In an otherwise crappy foggist day.
It's a foggist day.
It's just so foggisty.
Isn't it? What day is it? Wednesday?
It's Underwear Day, isn't
it? It's National Underwear Day. And
celebrating.
Me too.
Yeah.
Everyone else celebrating too?
Yep. Underpants.
Why are the boys quiet?
I don't know. They're not being...
Kids?
Yeah. Hey, Nick.
They're totally not.
Surprise you.
Steve Gregory's in there doing tricks.
Oh, sorry. Steve's distracting.
Yeah. Are you celebrating
Steve,
National Underwear Day,
don't you have
Day,
a
Jacob?
Story you can go do?
Apparently we're not entertaining enough for Mr. Gregory.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently,
he's
we're
bored.
Not either.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, Steve.
He's fine, actually. He's working on a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
we'll
sure he is.
We'll go get to work.
The Jacob and Nick story.
You know, what? Chris and Carlo's not in there clowning around. Gary and Shannon will continue.
You want to go? You want to go in there, Steve? In?
Layla.
Do you slide on all your knives like this? Do you try on all your knives like this?
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, speaking of the COVID, Governor Newsom yesterday, or Monday, I should say, announced an almost 20% decline in the 7-day average rate for positive infections in the state of California, which is fantastic news. And then Health and Human Services Secretary Dr. Mark Galli said this 7-day positivity rate is affected by a technical issue.
Although we are proud of our collective work so far, we are in this for the long run. We have a long way to go. I often like to say we're in the top of the third, bottom of the second inning of a baseball game.
Okay.
Okay, wait.
You don't
sorry.
Get
go,
to use baseball analogies in this.
Can you go back to what his analogy was?
Yes. There it is.
We have a long way to go. I often like to say we're in the top of the third, bottom of the second inning of a baseball game.
Yeah.
That's a stupid-ass analogy.
Now we
that's
know who came up with American mini football.
This is the guy that's in charge?
I like to say
what
that
a dumbass analogy.
It's like we are in the top of the third.
Nobody says that.
Or
that's
bottom
not a thing.
Of the second.
That's not a thing.
Or
that's
you
not,
do it in the other order.
What are you even talking about? It's the top of the third, bottom of the second? What does that even mean? That's a dumb that explains nothing. I don't know how you feel in the top of the top of the third. Maybe I'm thinking about getting another Dodger dog at that point. That's the only thing that means to me.
Maybe that's what he
means. Why does this bother me so much?
Because you don't want him to use a good thing like a sports analogy to describe something horrible like,
you know, why
we're
doesn't
in
he
this
say
for
like,
the long run.
It's like Patrick Mahomes 4th down and 15 to go. It could go bad or more likely, we're going to rise above this and convert the first down. Right? That's a good analogy for where we're at in the coronavirus, not top of the third. That was unplaced anger.
Wow.
Misplaced anger.
That was an interesting look into the way that you deal with emotions.
Well, if you're going to use...
Said by the guy who doesn't have to do that.
If you're going to use a sports analogy, you should do it the correct way.
Yeah, that's... Well, but again, this is the same team that brought you the it's safe to throw an American mini football around.
I'm troubled when I hear things like this from the people who are in charge of this.
Well, had this happened at the end of March, it would have been this. I get it. Everybody's trying to grapple with what's going on, and information streams are going to be intermittent. They're not worked out yet. We've been in this for months. If the state has a data system that cannot process these test results, we are screwed. The problems have caused delays in analyzing test results. They've cast doubt on the announcement that our average rate for positive infections has actually been going down. Mark Galley said the 7-day positivity rate is absolutely affected by this issue, but it's unclear to what extent. And it's unclear for how long these cases have been undercounted. Use L.A. County as an example. L.A. County has suggested that they're going to have to contact 81 laboratories to obtain test results since July 26th, so more than a week, in order to figure out the accurate count. Why in the world? These are the same people who brought you the DMV, period. Period.
End of story.
Why would I want them to be more involved in my life? I want them to do the simple things like...
their job?
Counting. Counting. We've all been counting for a long time.
Good. It's disheartening because, you know, we sit here and we talk about the importance of figuring out, for one, how much kids are transmitting this thing. We know they're getting it, but... are they spreading it around? You know, can we have like a simple study of a group of children where we find out what we're dealing with as we talk about opening up the schools?
Well, and I think to that point, we need to figure out.
I'm expecting too much from these people. They can't even count, let alone put together a study like that.
We're getting kids who are testing positive. But let me use baseball as an example. Sorry, Dr. Mark Galley, but I'm going to do it correctly. Of all of those players on the Miami Marlins and the St. Louis Cardinals who have tested positive, almost none of them are showing symptoms of any kind, not even mild flu-like symptoms. They're not showing symptoms. Yeah, we do have kids who are testing positive, who do test positive because they're 5 years old for some reason. Grandpa had it. Maybe we should test little Chucky. He's not symptomatic. This is not killing off our children. We're not sacrificing.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ficing our children by putting them back in school.
But are they spreading it?
Well, that's your point. If we need to figure that out, that's got to be one of those things that we should figure out.
We should have figured it out 4 months ago.
Well, now that would have been a little
not in the 11th hour,
don't you think?
Not in the fourth quarter,
not
Mark.
Not in the second inning, darn it.
What does that mean? All right. Well, this will bring us all together. Doesn't everybody dislike Jake Paul?
Logan Paul doesn't dislike Jake Paul. Are they brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the FBI is going after Jake Paul. We'll explain that when we come back.
Where are the parents on these kids?
Oh, they don't care.
Who were they? What were they like?
Parents are probably getting a percentage just to shut up. Stop parenting. Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. On this Wednesday, it's August 5th. keeping an eye on a bunch of stuff that's been going on, including the latest on the explosion in Beirut. It looks like the 2,700 pounds of ammonium nitrate exploded yesterday. There is an unspecified number of Beirut port officials who are currently under house arrest pending this investigation.
Wow.
They said that the explosion killed more than 100 people and injured as many as 4,000, but both of those numbers are expected to go up. Sally Yates, she was attorney general for a minute. She was in the upper ranks of the Justice Department during the FBI's investigation into Russian meddling in the election. She said today that James Comey went rogue, that he unilaterally dispatched agents to interview Michael Flynn at the White House in the early days of the Trump administration. In an exchange with Chairman Lindsey Graham today during the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, she was asked whether she authorized the interview of Michael Flynn. And Sally Yates, again, was the attorney general at the time, said, "I didn't authorize that interview because I wasn't told about it in advance." Speaking of Justice Department, the FBI's busy today.
FBI agents this morning served a federal search warrant at the massive home in Calabasas of YouTube personality Jake Paul. Several firearms found throughout the property were seized. Apparently, there were multiple firearms scattered across the property, including a long gun propped up against a hot tub in the backyard.
No one's quite sure why, or at least the FBI isn't saying why, the house was being searched. This is a guy, though, who last month, during a series of protests in Arizona, where, I mean, everybody was protesting back in those days, but he was in a mall in Scottsdale that had been shut down and was the scene of looting, although he says he wasn't there to loot. He was just there to document what was going on for his YouTube channel. He was also popped last month for he was outed for a party that he threw at his mansion.
Yeah, there were no masks, no social distancing, and the mayor there of Calabasas was very upset about this. Videos of that house party went viral on social media, where he has 20 million followers. The mayor saying she learned of the party when everyone in the neighborhood complained, saying that they saw tons of people walking on the street unmasked, then gathering. She told ABC News, "I was very upset that somebody would hold such an outrageous gathering in our community."
He said in an interview regarding that party, he is not the type of person who's going to sit around. He says, "Our leadership is failing us," and that, quote, "no one has answers concerning the rising numbers of cumulative COVID-19 cases and deaths in LA County."
That's true.
Well, what answer is it? What question does he want answered that's not being answered? Like, hey, probably not throw a party with 250 of your closest friends not wearing masks.
Well, I think he means that no one has answers in terms of how long this thing is going to last, where we go from here, that kind of a thing.
The mayor did say she's only spoken not to Jake Paul, although he said that they did speak. The mayor says, "I didn't speak to him. I spoke to a representative of his." She said she warned that the local sheriff's department would be breaking up future parties and possible financial penalties would be issued. Why are we not breaking up these parties? This is the second one I've found.
I don't know.
Did you know that Jake Paul is a boxer?
I don't know if Lee. I did. I found out he was going to fight Nate Robinson.
Yeah, former NBA guard, former University of Washington football player, Nate Robinson. It's going to be broadcast on Triller for $50. It's an undercard to the Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight in September.
Yeah, we're going to have to find out what the, to your point about why aren't we breaking these parties up, why there's no teeth in the county public health order to not have parties larger than 10 people or whatever it is. Why are no teeth in there saying that law enforcement can then enter the premises and break it up or cite somebody or something like that?
What if they sent Dr. Barbara Ferrer to the door of a house party like this?
Like, I remember calling the cops on a house party that I had thrown and they broke it up.
Hold on a second. You called the cops on your own party?
Yeah, because it was getting out of hand. There's too many people showing up.
That sounds like an after-school special.
My life was an after-school special. Don't we know each other here? This is a shock to you?
If you, Jake and Logan Paul, brothers, Jake is the younger of the two, have these YouTube pages, their social media, that's what they do. This is what we have produced in this country in the last 10 or 15 years.
The future is not bright.
And that these guys are held up as true examples of
celebrity.
Of how to succeed. These guys are success stories. And you can't argue. I mean, they are. They make millions of dollars if that's your level or if that's your
idea
metric for what success is.
Yeah.
But I thank my lucky stars. This is not somebody that my kids look up to and are like, I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I thank God that that's not what they believe.
And they're the age where that would make sense.
They're at the age where going to a Jake Paul party would... Oh, man, I can't imagine what red hot nuclear anger I would have if I found out that my daughter was at Jake Paul's house.
You'd break that party up. You'd go there in your bird shirt with your pomegranate martini and
margarita,
you'd say,
margarita,
it's over, kids. And you are coming with me.
Who am I pointing at?
Your daughter.
Oh, right.
Get her out of there.
Got it. I would find 2,700 pounds of a... No.
Don't you miss going to restaurants and yelling at people?
I was at a restaurant Friday.
Did you yell
outside.
At anybody?
I did not yell at anybody. In fact, I wore a shirt that's similar to the bird shirt, but it's different. It's got like the... I've worn it here, but it's like... It's the same color pattern and everything. It's not the bird shirt.
You're wearing a penguin on your breast again.
I told you, I got a lot of penguins.
You got a lot of penguins. You're very into birds on your shirt. I like it.
It's a sign of strength.
It's nice. All right, coming up next, what do you want to talk about?
We'll find something, won't we?
Gary and Shannon will continue. I like that you're broken, broken like me. Maybe that makes because we're over it, Steve. We're over it. It's August 5th. We've lost time. A lot of it. We're done. In the fog.
August, huh?
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Well, today is National Underwear Day, so we brought in Steve Gregory, our underwear correspondent.
I get to the bottom of everything.
You are a delight. Oh, there's something so enjoyable about you. And something...
Oh, I see you playing
not.
Your audio again.
All right.
Let's Why did you want him in here? What was going on?
You didn't buy the National Underwear Day?
No, he's already explained. He's a boxer brief.
Well,
guy.
We talked about it yesterday. Javier Becerra is filing charges against Jackie Lacey, the LA County DA's husband, for pulling a gun on Black Lives Matter protesters when they showed up to their house in the middle of the night and refused to leave. Which is ridiculous that they're charging him for this. He has already apologized. He said that he feared for their safety, that the protesters were aggressive, and he was defending his own home and family. And I don't have a problem with this, and I don't understand why Javier Becerra does.
Well, he's clearly on George Gascon's team. That's, I think,
right.
why he's done this. But it raised questions in my mind, and I don't know if we know much about this, but how often is something like this charged? If someone feels threatened in their home and they have a weapon that they, you know, you could argue that he wasn't doing it in a very, I don't know, safe care. How do you threaten somebody carefully? If you're scared for your life and property and your family, how do you?
Well, let's go back to what had happened initially. And that was earlier in the day. And we're talking overnight hours. And this is back in March. It was still dark outside early morning, and there was a group of an estimated group of around 30 to 35 people. And I was told that there was like a bit of a drum circle and some chanting, and they were pretty fired up. And this was members of Black Lives Matter and a couple other groups. And then at one point, three of the members of this group went to the porch where the Lacys live, and they were recording on the phone, and then they were knocking on the door.
And this was like 4 a.m. or something, right?
Yeah, it was like 4 or 5 a.m.
Someone comes to my house knocking on the door at 4 a.m. in a aggressive fashion, and I have a weapon in the house, which is why I don't have a weapon in the house. I am going to go inquire with said weapon.
Well,
because who's knocking on your door at 4 in the morning?
So then David Lacy answers the door, and then everyone has seen this video now. It went viral that day. And so he has the gun in his hand. He tells him, I will shoot. But I think, you know, I was talking to a cop buddy yesterday, and I think if he had never raised the gun and made the verbal threat, it would have been fine.
Yeah, I think, and that was my point earlier. Like, he didn't do it in a very careful manner. He could have let them know he was armed. He could have shown them the gun, brandished it, I suppose.
But here's the thing. We're treating this as an isolated incident, and it's not. Jackie Lacy has been followed by people. Mm. She has been given death threats. This has been going on for months because there wasn't enough evidence initially to charge Ed Buck, who was enticing young black men into his home in West Hollywood, drugging them and doing all sorts of weird crap. And he wasn't being charged because the evidence wasn't there. There were statements recanted, and it wasn't enough to file charges. And so it was like Jackie Lacy hates black people, which makes no sense. And the stuff that she's had to put up with for months is insane. And this was the tipping point when they go to her house in the dead of night and start banging on the door. I can see where her husband was like, enough.
Yeah.
You know that the U.S. Attorney's Office just filed more charges, or I think grand jury just brought down more on the Ed Buck case.
They did.
Yeah. And so then after that incident, you know, then it went viral. And again, then a few days after that, because I was at that press conference and Jackie Lacy had a press conference, and we all know she's not a very public person, you know, and it's really hard to get a hold of her.
She's not a politician.
Yeah. She's not into that self-promoting mode like a lot of politicians are. So, you know, we'd wondered because, of course, everyone called the office like, well, is she going to say something? What's going to happen? And a few days later, she had a press briefing downtown at Hall of Justice. And she said, you know, she was very emotional about it. She talked about the fact that she, as Shannon mentioned, that she's been the subject of many death threats in her family. She does have a security detail, and it wasn't there that night. She let him go like late the night before. So typically there would have been a security detail there.
With guns.
Which would have typically, yeah. Which, and by the way, he's licensed to carry a weapon.
Yeah.
David Lacy. But so it's not clear if that would have gone on, if a detail had been there. Obviously, they wouldn't have gotten to the porch, I don't think. I don't think they would have allowed him on the porch. But, of course, she was very remorseful, and she also extended the apologies of her husband, you know, due in hindsight. Well, yesterday when this announcement came, I got a hold of one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, Dr. Maleen Abdullah, and she was one of the three. She says she's one of the three that was on the porch that morning, and I just asked her for her reaction.
We didn't think there would be any charges at all because we don't have very much faith in the existing system, you know, the existing justice system. And so, you know, we thought it would be just kind of the worst of injustices that nothing happened. So the fact that charges were filed is a pleasant surprise.
So that's what she's concerned about, that the worst of injustices would be that David Lacy, protecting his wife and property, would not be charged. That's the worst of the injustices that she's concerned about.
She also added to that while they were surprised and pleasantly surprised with the charges, they felt that the charges could have been stiffer.
Oh, God. Good Lord. You go to some, you know, it's one thing to protest somebody, a public person like Jackie Lacy at her office, or what have you, but you go to someone's home and at 4 a.m. start banging on the door, you don't get to demand things like that. But apparently in 2020, you do.
It will be interesting to see how this plays out in terms of actual. I don't imagine that David Lacy will see any jail time.
No.
I don't think it'll go that route at all.
Assuming that he pleads out.
Something will come up. I'm sure it I can't imagine it's going to go any further. And then we'll probably.
It's all symbolic for Javier Becerra to, you know, be.
And then of course, it'll be the civil trial. Because I'm sure.
Because someone's going to sue for emotional distress.
Well, Carl Douglas is already the attorney representing the three.
Okay. All right. Steve, get out of here with your news.
You're the one that called me in here.
I know. Yeah, no, we appreciate it.
He does have a good point.
Let's start off Tarzan Wednesday when we get back.
Oh, thank God.
You know? On this. Have something nice.
Wonderful Foggist 5th.
Oh, by the way, Layla.
Stop saying Foggist.
Layla, sorry I didn't have anything for your nooncast because I got pulled into the talk.
Oh, it's okay. You know, Chris, right now? Well, Chris and Carlo is working hard as usual. While you're in there goofing off with Gary and Shannon. So
you
thankfully,
call this goofing off?
Thankfully, Chris Hancarlo and Corbin Carson came through for me. I'm all set now.
Well, okay then. There went my employee of the month.
I love you, Steve.
There went my employee of the month chances.
What's trending coming up next on Gary and Shannon?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
I wonder where the Attorney General stands when it comes to trespassing charges.
Did somebody trespass against George Gascon?
Are those forgiven?
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's got his thumb on the scale here.
Hey, it is Wednesday, August 5th, if you're keeping score, which means it is a Tarzan Wednesday.
Oh, I love Tarzan Wednesday.
The strength of Tarzan, no man can say.
Hmm. The cheetah.
Cheetah has grown to know one who is swifter. The lion knows one who is braver.
Mm. Yeah.
Tarzan.
Yeah.
Tarzan. A child was found and raised by the great apes. The boy took the name Tarzan.
Tarzan. T-A-R-Z-U-N. Tarzan.
What is the etymology of Tarzan?
Tarzan. I don't know. I don't know if anybody's ever really spent that much time thinking about that. At the bottom of the hour, Catherine Falder is going to join us from Washington, D.C. Will we see some sort of a COVID relief bill, another one, before 535 of our bravest and smartest millionaires take the weekend off for their summer break. Also at the top of next hour, the latest on that explosion in Beirut that absolutely leveled several blocks of Beirut and destroyed all kinds of buildings, killing well over 100 people and wounding thousands. Jordana Miller is going to join us live from Jerusalem. That's actually where we start what's trending right now.
Time for What's Happening.
Well, looks like the investigation out of Beirut is focusing on how 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate came to be stored at this facility for 6 years and why nothing was done about it. This is a highly explosive chemical, obviously, used in fertilizers, also used in some bombings. Intentional bombings, like Oklahoma City.
Yeah, in Oklahoma City, they said that there were about 2 tons of ammonium nitrate used in that bomb in the back of the moving truck by Timothy McVeigh. This was 2,700 tons
of
ammonium nitrate.
Devastation. And as we talked about yesterday, Lebanon, already on the brink of a collapse, they're in a severe economic crisis. Their currency is down 90% since September. A lot of people don't have jobs. They don't have savings because there's a lack of currency. The food security is a worry as well. It's just a complete mess.
There is interesting I guess, sidelights to this. One of the buildings that was near, if you've seen the before and after footage, so that building that's standing there that's got its face ripped off is a whole bunch of silos. And they're saying that because of the damage to that building, that's not where the ammonium nitrate was stored, but it was right next to it. 85% of the country's grain was stored at these now wrecked silos. The wheat that was stored there is now contaminated and is absolutely unusable. So they do have enough wheat for their immediate needs, but Lebanon is going to have to import more. This was a massive, massive problem. The president held a briefing yesterday, or I should say during his briefing on coronavirus, was asked about this and said that that it looked like an attack to him. But as far as we know, there's no intelligence agency that is suggesting it was an attack, that this was simply an accident.
Well, the L.A. County Department of Public Health listens to the show because they say that they now have a legally binding order that prohibits gatherings and parties during the COVID pandemic. This is on the heels of a couple of different parties we've heard about in the Hollywood Hills. They now say that violation or failure to comply with the order is a crime punishable by fine, imprisonment, or both.
Why wasn't it before? I don't understand what the problem was. FBI is at Jake Paul's house in Calabasas. The FBI is serving a search warrant there. They haven't said exactly what they're looking for, but we do understand that they had several firearms that were found scattered around the property, including some sort of a long gun propped up against a hot tub in the backyard. We don't know why they were there. There was a party at Jake Paul's house. Find it hard to believe that the FBI would have been involved if there was a party at Calabasas at the mansion. And it may potentially have something to do with an ongoing investigation to him in a Scottsdale mall in June, when we saw many cities and across America dealing with riots.
Clorox wipes, a hot ticket item right now. Well, there will be a continued shortage of the wipes into 2021 because of the overwhelming demand. They have been flying off store shelves since March. The Clorox brand dominates the wipes market with a 45% market share. So, hey, listen, entrepreneurs, time to get those wipes ready to go. We're going to have several different brands of wipes probably coming out.
Oh, I can't wait.
We've already seen several different types of wipes around here.
We are reaching peak wipe around this place, aren't we?
Remember the day that I looked over to you and I said, have you wiped?
What do you got there?
I was going to ask if you guys have tried this. We've had this one probably since the pandemic began because no one likes these.
Those are the body wipes, right?
Think they're body wipes.
But they say it on there, right?
Well, they do. You're right.
It says body wipes. And I'm like, is this like Axe body spray for boys? What's
going
on?
But it has the, it's all natural with the tea tree and eucalyptus.
The one that smells funny.
Yeah, I think they smell nice. No one uses them.
Is that the one that smells like oregano a little bit?
Yes. Yeah. They rather catch COVID around here than use these wipes.
Yeah, those are like teenage boy wipes.
I had to go wash my hands. I told you that the silly dispenser out there was all goofy.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what's the noise again?
And I got it on my hands, and then I had to come in and apologize for my cleanliness because it smelled like something poor.
Well, it's been going around that the smell of the new Purell is the smell of a hot spot.
So I had to go in and wash
the hot spots off your hands.
The antibacterial off of my hands.
Can I say that on the radio?
Probably not.
Okay.
Not a great idea. But speaking of, Ellen DeGeneres, the DJ on her show, says, oh, yeah, she's a monster. Gary and Shannon will continue. Yeah.
Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We will take you to the swamp of Washington coming up after Layla's news at the bottom of the hour, where they continue to talk about a coronavirus relief package. Also, as I stutter, Joe Biden does the same, talking about his mental and physical fitness.
Come on, man.
He doesn't need to take no test. I think those are the exact words he said. Joe Biden, by the way, is not going to travel to Wisconsin to formally accept the nomination at the Democratic convention in Milwaukee. Not a gigantic surprise. The president also said he's considering delivering his convention speech from D.C. in a place called the White House. He told Fox News that he's thinking about delivering the speech from the White House because of the security and the cost advantages. Although there may be some people within the party who suggest that the White House should not be the backdrop for that, simply because you don't want to mix the the public property partisan politics.
That's a lot of P's.
That's a lot of P's.
Well, it looks like the ratings have taken a dive when it comes to the Ellen show. Ratings are down 29% from last year's period, 9% down from the prior week, and now DJ Tony is talking.
DJ Tony Okomboa had been on the show twice, actually. He had a short time off. I'm not sure why, but a total of 9 years over two different stints. And he took to Instagram to say, hey, guys, shouldn't we all start our Instagram posts with, hey, guys, I hope y'all are keeping safe out there during these trying times. I have been getting calls asking me about the Ellen DeGeneres show, and I would like to address the time I spent there. I was on air talent from 2003 to 6 and from 2007 to 13. While I am grateful for the opportunity it afforded me, I did experience and feel the toxicity of the environment, and I stand with my former colleagues in their quest to create a healthier and more inclusive workplace as the show moves forward. I'll say this. This show is not moving forward. The idea that you're going to be able to raise these concerns, perhaps, about the toxicity of the environment and lay the blame at the feet of Ellen DeGeneres, why would she continue the show?
Yeah.
They do say that it's the executive producers rather than Ellen herself who were directly responsible for the toxic work environment. But they say Ellen was not involved enough to see what was happening on her own show.
Well, there were reports that she's just been phoning it in and just basically showing up. Now, I don't know Ellen. I don't know the show. I'm not working there, so I don't have any personal knowledge of this. But people have said that she has just been kind of skating through the past several years and doesn't really have any ownership in this thing. And that's why these monster executive producers are getting all the fingers pointed at them, because it seems like they've got the run of the show. It's like Nick around here, you know?
What
like,
do you mean
we
by
are
that?
Nice people.
Right.
We truly do mean to be kind to people, or as we say on this show, don't be a D. Nick's the monster.
Excuse me.
Nick's the executive producer monster.
I don't.
You're not the monster.
Now I understand what those complaints are. I never got that before. Now I get it.
The complaints about Nick?
You watch your mouth.
See what I mean?
There are a handful of people who have come out in defense of of Ellen, for example. Her wife, Portia de Rossi.
Okay, that doesn't count.
Oh, no. Katy Perry.
Spousal privilege.
Katy Perry has come out. Mm. She said she has continuously fought for equality. She's only ever had positive takeaways from the time with Ellen on the show. But that's not an... Katy Perry is not the kind of person who is a production assistant working under Ed Glavin. She's Katy Perry.
Right.
Of course she's going to be treated wonderfully. She's only going to be dealing with a handful of people. She's going to get a chance to, you know, knock on the door and welcome Ellen. Hey, what's going on? I haven't seen you for so long. A production assistant is not going to be able to do that sort of thing. Scooter Braun was one of the people who came out and said Ellen DeGeneres is a good... Scooter Braun, the one who went after Taylor Swift and tried to take all of her, or did take her music library. Boy.
All right. When we come back, Swamp Watch, and in about an hour from now, Justin Worsham, host of the Dad Podcast, will join us talking about parents making the big decision about sending kids to school and hands-off parenting, why it's better for your noggin.
Gary and Shannon will continue. And I'm calling out, get up, get up, get a move on.
Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. The NCAA Board of Governors has directed schools and conferences to meet some very specific requirements if they decide to do fall sports during the preseason, regular season, postseason. And then each division is directed to determine to its ability to meet those requirements if they're going to do fall championships. The Board of Governors had some concerns about the continuing high levels of COVID-19, and they said they determined only support moving forward with fall championships and other postseason play if these conditions are applied, if they are adhered to.
Looks like U.S. testing for the COVID is dropping even as the infections remain high. The death toll rises by more than 1,000 a day. They say that the number of tests per day has slid 3.6% over the past 2 weeks.
We're waiting for some of the updated numbers from the state. We told you that yesterday we found out, according to the Department of Public Health, that, in fact, some of the numbers that we had been seeing were not, shall we say, accurate, since there had been a backlog and they were going back through to change them. Yesterday was reported 4,500 new cases for the state. Today, it's bounced back up a bit to 5,200 new cases.
Well, let's see what Washington...
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Tin is doing about it. This is where we start Swamp Watch.
Drain the swamp. We're going to drain the swamp of Washington. We're going to have fun doing it. We're all doing it together.
Drain the swamp. Drain the swamp.
Swamp Watch. Well, they're playing this out in the media more so than they are behind closed doors in negotiations. Senators trading shots at each other about what's going on with the latest COVID stimulus plan. Catherine Falders has been following all of this story live in Washington for us and for ABC News. Catherine, what's the latest?
Hey there. So we just recently heard from Mark Meadows, the White House Chief of Staff, who came out and spoke to reporters about this after another day of meetings, negotiations with Speaker Pelosi. The thing that they seem to agree on, I think, is that they will try and get to a deal by Friday, that they will try and finally come to an agreement or an agreement in principle. Now, Mark Meadows was asked about that just moments ago, and now he says, look, if we can't get to a deal by Friday, then we're probably going to have no deal at all. So that's kind of where we are. Now, the sticking points still have to do with school funding, those $600 a week payments that Democrats want. So Democrats have now added an additional $300 billion in funding, that's B-billion, in funding that they want for schools. They also don't want to back down on these $600 a week payments that you guys and I have been talking about. This, those expired last week. So we don't know if there's some wiggle room there. But the reality is the Senate leaves. They are supposed to be out of session next week. Mitch McConnell said that that's unlikely to happen, that they will likely still be in session, because if they do end up agreeing on a deal or a deal in principle by Friday, they still have to vote on this next week. And if they come to no deal, we've heard from the White House and the president and the chief of staff just reiterated this moments ago that the president is continuing to look at executive action to do this on his own.
Who gets to pull the trigger on keeping members in Washington to work on this?
And that's Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader. So, and I think they're all on the same page, really, with that. You know, if there's, it just depends. If there is a deal, for example, they will still have to stay around to vote on it. If it just becomes increasingly clear that neither side is going to relent on anything or compromise on anything, and that there won't be a deal, and that the only way forward is what the administration says with executive action, then Mitch McConnell could say the Senate is out of session, but most likely we still will see them in for about another week before they go out for August recess.
All right, Catherine, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I was talking to someone yesterday in the service industry, and it seems like she was saying that there are some, let's say, contract employees that she works with mm-hmm. that have been staying at home, collecting the money from the government, and then operating out of their homes, the particular services that they provide. So collecting the checks and then still getting paid under the table off the books.
Well, so part of that is that those are bad people. But the other part of it yeah. is that there's no plan. I mean, government is so, I don't know if it's incapable or unable to prevent that from happening.
Right. There's always going to be people that find a way to scam the government.
Right. And be happy with it.
Getting a small business loan or getting the unemployment and be happy with it. Right.
And think to themselves, oh, I won. I have gamed the system.
Right.
Well, my son says that he knows a lot of people who are making a whole lot more money with the extended, supplemented unemployment on top of what they were getting from the state. They're making more money sitting around doing nothing than they right. were working. So right. why would there be a desire to go back to work?
Right.
Other than I would hope there's some little
conscience
switch that flips in your head and you go, I can't sit here and play Xbox all day. I can't watch Jake Paul videos all day. Can I? There's something about the
going to work,
going to work
and being good for your mental health.
Yeah,
to actually earn your money. But you know what? You and I think the more I learn are more in the minority of that way of thinking.
Well, maybe. Maybe that's true. They said that if they do get something done by the middle of this month, so sometime in the next 10 days or so, it's possible that people could start seeing direct payments as early as the end of August or even early September. So that's if something gets done between now and the 15th.
Well, Joe Biden was called out to take a cognitive test, or has he taken a cognitive test? And it did not go well.
Come on, man.
We've had two bad interviews for the two presidential candidates back to back.
Not good.
No bueno.
Play for you his response and why it was. And that, by the way, him saying that he doesn't need to take a test was not even the most cringeworthy portion of the interview.
No, it wasn't.
Gary and Shannon will continue with Swamp Watch.
How about you? You. Because I miss the stupid things that we do. How about you? You. Because I need to have to change this tattoo.
That's what she's into.
Who's into that? What are you talking about?
You weren't listening because you go into another place whenever this topic comes up.
Oh.
The filet?
Yeah. It's Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. At the top of the hour, we're going to get more from Jerusalem. Jordana Miller's going to join us and talk about this incredible explosion yesterday in Beirut. They're saying now it was 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate, a chemical that's used in fertilizers. It's also been used in bombs. Oklahoma City is an example, but in that case, there was just about 2.5 tons of it. This was 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate that blew up.
Layla Jason wrote to us and says the great singing voice from Mulan is Leah Salonga. She was also the voice of Jasmine in Aladdin, as well as a Broadway veteran.
Oh, great. Didn't this sound like really soothing? I think
it
anything
did.
That reminds me of a more peaceful time in my life.
I just listened to it again during
you mean anything before March?
Anything before March just makes me, it makes me relax, but it also makes me want to cry.
Yes.
I should probably talk to someone, huh?
Yeah.
We're all in that boat. We're all in that I need to talk to someone boat.
Layla?
Yes.
We're right here.
Some days I just want to go sit in the corner and cry.
You could sit in this corner over here. We will not tell anyone that you're here.
Sometimes it hits me at weird times. Like, I'll be watching a show, and I'll just start crying.
I cry a lot. Yeah, something's wrong.
Yeah.
We should go talk to someone together on their virtual couch.
Okay. You guys, yeah. Both of you, listen to me. I'm right here.
I don't know if I trust you to be the person.
I don't think you're that guy.
I'm a great listener.
You're not the guy.
I don't think you're that guy. Joe Biden.
He's not that guy to listen either.
No.
Joe Biden did an interview with the National Association of Black Journalists, the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. It's supposed to be, I think the full interview is supposed to air tomorrow somewhere.
You know, they have NABJ and NAHJ have a big joint convention happening right now.
Then, well, that would explain because they
had it's virtual this year.
Everybody, there were like six people on this Zoom call that was basically the interview with Joe Biden. And here was one of the guys asking him about cognitive abilities.
Mr. Vice President, your opponent in this election, President Trump, has made your mental state a campaign topic. And when asked in June if you'd been tested for cognitive decline, you've responded that you're constantly tested in effect because you're in situations like this on the campaign trail. But please clarify specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There can be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness to make a judgment about who I am. Very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness. Very willing to let the.
That's just not. It doesn't look.
He's rubbing me the wrong way with the way he's talking to people, too.
What do you mean?
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Oh, how?
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
What do you mean? Like, you don't like the vernacular?
Yeah.
You don't like the, or that
it's
he's
like,
being
it's
informal?
It reminds me of when he's had the interview and he said, if you don't know who you're voting for, you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Oh, I see what you're suggesting.
Like, what are you doing?
Well, that's a. It's a politician.
Do you think Joe Biden talks like that in his everyday life?
Absolutely, he says this.
Come on, man.
I think he says that all the time.
Really?
Come on, man.
I don't think I've ever heard him. I don't know. Maybe he does.
The whole stumbling over the, you know, whether or not you should be drug tested, are you a junkie thing?
Who came up with that? Because you know that was a pre-planned retort that the Biden people knew this was going to come up at some point. And what can Biden say that's cute or pithy or whatever as a retort to that question?
Yeah.
Somebody thought that was a good idea to accuse a reporter of being high on cocaine? Like, to joke that away?
I guess. Why would you even... You're
it
right.
It doesn't even make any sense. It's like that bottom of the second, top of the third analogy. Like, what?
Person, woman, man, camera... TV.
We're screwed.
These two
yahoos.
The fact that we're even discussing
our only choices.
The fact that the president of the United States took the Montreal cognitive assessment and then
bragged about
feels like he's lording it over the guy who
it's a dementia test. It's not something to hold up and say, look at what I accomplished.
The doctors had a great idea for me. They said, you know, we think you're so smart, we're going to give you the Montreal cognitive test.
It's not the LSAT. You're not going through assertions. You're picking between a lion and a tiger.
Yosemites.
Boy, this is what we got. This is 2020. What did we expect? We could have seen this coming.
We haven't seen any of this coming. We don't even know about September.
You know
it's going to be here tomorrow.
Tomorrow's
going to be September 1st.
And we didn't even have 2,700 pounds of ammonium nitrate blow up in our backyard.
No, not yet.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Somebody posted a picture of a train on fire rolling towards the camera. And it said, okay, August, what do you got?
Yeah, exactly. What's next? Although I feel like we have gotten stronger.
Doesn't that worry you, though?
Yeah. But I remember you and I sitting in here in March and being like, kind of flipping out about it.
Well, there was very much a feeling on a couple of those Fridays. There was very much a feeling of, I don't know if we're coming back on Monday.
Right.
I don't know, because it feels like we're in free fall.
Yeah.
Remember the Rudy Gobert, Tom Hanks, the NBA, the president's speech, like that March 12th, 13th, 14th time was like your stomach was in your throat. How did you know I was going to say that?
All right.
Oh, my God.
It was all bullshit.
Yeah.
Gary and Shannon will continue. We'll be talking about Beirut when we come back.
Yay.
By airlines and their unions for federal money to keep paying airline workers.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Like it's getting a boost in Washington. A bunch of Republican senators are endorsing this proposal to give airlines billions so they can avoid layoffs through next March. Holy hell.
Sally Yates was at one time the attorney general. She was in the upper ranks of the Justice Department while the FBI was investigating Russian meddling in the 2016 election. And she told lawmakers today that James Comey went rogue, that he unilaterally dispatched agents to interview former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn at the White House.
Chicago had said that the school district would have a tentative hybrid plan for the fall semester, which involved kids back in classes at least for a percentage of the time. Now they say they will not do that. They will not welcome students back to the classroom in Chicago. They will rely only on remote instruction because of the recent uptick in the COVID cases.
Huge story that we saw yesterday was this this explosion that took place in the port of Beirut, right there in the capital of Lebanon. And investigators have begun the search through the wreckage. The death toll is ridiculously high and is expected to go higher than the 135 that we know of right now.
Jordana Miller is covering the story from ABC News, joins us now with the very latest.
That's right. The numbers are certain to go higher and higher than the official 135 right now. And that's because so many believe that dozens are trapped underneath the rubble after this massive explosion. There are at least 5,000 injured as well. We're hearing from hospitals that they are just absolutely inundated, really overwhelmed. They don't have enough doctors or beds or equipment. Eyewitnesses told stories today that strangers in the street helped them recover, that there were, you know, makeshift field hospitals set up in some parking lots. And, you know, this was a devastating explosion. The radius now we think was about 6 or 7 miles from the epicenter, from the port. So it not only destroyed and brought down buildings in the immediate vicinity, but as far as 6 and 7 miles away, it blew out windows and brought down buildings and, you know, with cars that were blown, you know, blocks away. I mean, literally the residents of Free Root today, we heard from them. They are in shock and grief. And now that's turning into a little bit of anger as we learn about the fact that all of this may have been prevented, that it may have been due to negligence over these stored chemicals at the port.
Can you explain the provenance of these chemicals? I mean, were they taken from one specific shipment? Were they compiled over the course of years?
So what we know from the initial reporting out of Lebanon is that these chemicals, almost 3,000 metric tons of ammonium nitrate, were taken off of a Russian-owned ship that came through the port in 2014. There was some dispute over the ship. It wasn't allowed to continue to Mozambique. It had come from Georgia. And so the cargo was confiscated, and it turned out to be these massive amounts of ammonium nitrate. Now, apparently, the operators of the port had gone to the government several times, as recently as just 6 months ago, to say, listen, this is dangerous. We need to get these chemicals out of the port. They are going to literally, in one of the reports, you know, one of the operators of the port said this could destroy Beirut. Prophetic words, because according to the governor of Beirut, at least half the city has been majorly damaged by this explosion. The question tonight is also really what ignited the chemicals, because they don't self-combust. So was there a nearby, a fire? Did some light munitions go off, some fireworks go off? It's unclear. But this looks like a massive and tragic industrial accident that, you know, many people in Beirut are beginning to feel angry about, that it could have been avoided.
Well, already a lot of anger in Beirut over what's been going on when it comes to the political corruption and the complete downfall of the currency there, down 90%, I believe, since September. There was already a lot of unrest there, with people not being able to take money out of banks and food security being an issue now.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen for the last 6 months at least, we've seen massive rallies and protests, some of them turning violent through Beirut. There have been demonstrations, anti-government demonstrations against what many call endemic corruption, and a lot of pushback against Hezbollah, the Shiite militant group there that many Lebanese are beginning to say, have an outsized influence in the country. They don't want the group or Iran's influence in Beirut. And as you said, the economy, the currency has been in free fall. And all of that while, you know, Beirut has been also fighting COVID-19 like the rest of the world. As a matter of fact, before this explosion, Beirut was about to go into a full lockdown for a few days. So all of that now complicated by this, and really will likely could really create more instability there.
I think it's worth noting as well that this, you know, in the United States, we think of Lebanon, we think of Beirut specifically as it's a place that's constantly under some sort of, you know, fighting that's been going on. And from their civil war all the way through 1990, through terrorist attacks, their wars with Israel, there has never been an explosion this large.
That's right. You think about, you know, if the Lebanese and the people of Beirut are shocked by this explosion, I mean, we saw pictures of it and it devastated your eyes. But these are people who've been through a lot. Right. They've had Lebanon bombed during their wars with Israel. You know, they've had assassination attempts. They've had, you know, shootings through the streets. You know, even just recently, some of the protests there were quite violent. You know, but this just is nothing they have ever experienced. And it feels like the city, you know, it feels like the day after an atomic bomb went off there. I mean, people are it's going to take a while, a real trauma to get over this.
Jordana, thank you. We appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much.
You bet. Jordana Miller there from Jerusalem with the latest on this this explosion in Beirut from yesterday.
This place, because its food is delicious.
It's a restaurant
in
heaven.
It's like a secret Mediterranean food place.
Well, now that you've told everybody, geez.
Well, we want them to survive.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Justin Warsham joins us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk a little bit more about schools reopening, CDC launching a tool to help you to make the decision about school if for some reason your school is actually, you know, available. But also some hands-off parenting.
Well, Audi is in the middle of a PR nightmare for no reason at all because people are gross. Audi put out an ad campaign of a little kid. How old is that kid? Three?
Yeah, maybe.
A little kid leaning up against a cherry red sedan / sports car. Unsure. You can just see the front of it.
Oh, it's the new RS4. If
ooh.
That's what you're, yeah, just if you're keeping
good
score.
Good looking car.
It's a good looking car.
And the kid's eating a banana. And people lost their minds because they sexualize the picture.
Okay. Well, the reason there's a kid on it, according to Audi, is it's a family car because it's got an emergency braking system, right? Like that scenario right there would never, she's just leaning up against a car that's parked, but they're suggesting that scenario would never happen because your car will brake before it hits a kid, or at least hopefully. One person wrote on Twitter, so let your heart beat faster in every aspect. Picture of child with banana in mouth and flash car. So wrong in every aspect. Wait a minute. What?
What? Nobody's looking at that picture and seeing anything else.
Here's another one. Ah, come on. The banana, the pose, the red color are incredibly suggestive. I have studied Freud, Mulvey. This reeks of the male gaze. G-A-Z-E.
What the hell is wrong with people?
What kind of... Now, that one to me, if I read that because there is no sarcasm tone on Twitter, that might be a sarcastic thing. But some people take this almost said a bad word, S, seriously. One mom wrote... Oh, hold on a second. So this moment has apparently taken issue with the fact that you have the child in front of the car where the driver wouldn't be able to see her. And this mom wrote, as a learning point, I would like to know how this came about. When I saw the photo of the child, my heart lurched. I have drummed into my children never to stand in front of or behind a car as you may not be seen. Were any parents / mothers involved in this design? Audi felt like they needed to apologize for this. As opposed to just tweeting something like, you people are dumb or you people are gross.
That's on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Audi on Twitter said, we hear you. If I hear that frickin' term.
I know.
We hear you and let's get this straight. We care for children. They will be conducting, they say, an internal review of how the campaign was created in the first place. Quote from Twitter, we sincerely apologize for this insensitive image and ensure that it will not be used in the future.
We've gone nuts. People are continuing to look for something to be offended by, looking in places where there is nothing to be offended by. There's enough offensive S going on.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, save the bullets. Save the silver bullets for the real werewolves.
Right.
I just made that
That's
up.
That's good.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that.
Okay. Somebody.
You're a wordsmith. You should write a book.
Jacob, mark that down. Or I'll say it again clean so that we can get it. Listen, save the silver bullets for the real werewolves. How's that?
Is that was good? Good. Yeah, that was good.
And it sounds
with
like
conviction.
Awesome.
With
like,
conviction.
Ah, Jacob got it. He gave me the thumbs
Victor,
up.
Victor, that cane's not going to help you if you just carry it around and you're not using it.
Did you just heckle the guy with the cane?
Well, I want his leg to get better, and he has a cane, so it's a good first step.
First of all,
holding it as he's walking around.
His leg is not hurt.
Yeah, no, it's hurt. He hurt it working out or something. You think he's just walking around with a cane for the sake of walking around with a cane?
The guy's 24 years old.
He's 25.
I'm sorry, 25. You don't hurt your leg while you're working out when you're 25.
He has a tear in his meniscus.
Stop. You are buying into this bullcrap that this guy...
Are you trying to say that Victor's complaining about something and using the silver bullets on the phony werewolves?
Kind of. And you know what I wish? I wish he would save those... Okay, take two. You know what I wish? I wish he would save the silver bullets for the real werewolves.
For a real tear.
For a real meniscus tear.
Yeah. You tear your ACL.
Yeah, because by the way, when he really does do it, like he's walking down the hallway and you hear...
Like when he's 45 at fantasy baseball camp?
And then just falls down and everybody's like, oh, wait a minute. Aren't you the guy that carried the cane around complaining that you had a torn meniscus?
Have you gotten a good look at that cane? It's exquisite.
It is. The woodworking...
It's ornate.
...on it is extremely ornate.
Yeah. Like you don't see canes like that anymore these days.
It's almost reminiscent of a fine European organ from the 14th century.
I would agree, yeah. Craftsmanship, for
Craftsmanship.
Sure. Were there a lot of organs in the 14th century?
Yeah. In the churches.
People played.
This is why you need to go to Europe. I want you to see the organs of the world.
I am going to Oregon next month. No, this month. Is that what you mean?
All right, Justin Worsham will join us when we come back.
I hope so.
At least it's not Candy Crush.
Do I have to make my own? I have to make an avatar?
Yeah, but I made mine look like a young boy. I mean, that sounded weird.
What are you, an Audi commercial maker?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No.
What is this fruit? What is that fruit?
That's a grape.
No, it's not a grape. Is it a papaya?
I can't.
Nah, it's not a papaya. It's a mango.
No, everybody knows mangoes. FBI was executing a federal search warrant today at the home of Jake Paul in Calabasas, the mansion there. They said it's related to an ongoing investigation, but they haven't immediately disclosed any details. A couple of helicopter shots today showed that they were taking some firearms out of Jake Paul's house. He made headlines, the bad ones, for last month throwing a big party at his place. The month before that, he was caught in a mall in Scottsdale while people were looting, although he said he wasn't looting. The numbers out of the state so far, not great today. We saw a jump go back up in terms of the number of new cases that were reported. One of the things about the state and the county, they both admitted that there's been underreporting in the last couple of weeks. So that's not good. But Dr. Christina Galley for the county is saying that our hospital numbers are doing very, very well. So even if there is a backlog of new positive cases, our hospital capacity is great, considering where we are in the middle of our pandemic.
Well, at this time on Wednesdays, we like to say hello to our friend Justin Worsham, host of the Dad Podcast, to talk about, you know, dad things.
Oh, let me hit that button, too. Hey, Justin, what's going on?
Not much, my man. Nothing.
Hey, Chief.
Chief.
Wait.
Okay, Justin, I have a question. This actually goes back to last week. Do you prefer a stranger call you Chief or Boss? Okay,
ooh.
Boss.
All right. Give me the other one.
Okay, Chief.
I think I'd go boss.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, I don't know if this is, I'm really afraid that I'm stepping into some kind of like Rorschach personality test where I've just exposed that I have mommy issues. I mean, I feel like my segment's big enough for that.
No, but. It's just the,
so the just CDC has launched a tool to help parents make that big decision.
Go, Shannon, go. yes, it has. And let me tell you, as somebody who's used this tool, it is absolute garbage. Like, it's pointless. At first, I was excited because, you know, in the beginning, there were schools that were talking about doing, like, hybrid. That's what we were going to do here in Burbank, that you had a choice. You could do 100% distance learning or a hybrid model where your kid would at least go into school, smaller classrooms, yada, yada, yada. So I'm like, oh, this is really cool. It's nothing. It's a PDF document that you punch in these bullet points, and it tells you if you check unsure for any of these questions, you should talk to your school administrator. They need to find somebody who used to make those dating quizzes at Cosmopolitan and tell them how to make an actual quiz that helps people inform.
Those are so good.
It does seem silly, and it seems a little bit overdone. I mean, the questions are, for example, I feel comfortable with my school's reopening plans for reducing risk of spreading COVID-19. Agree, disagree, unsure, or does not apply. Now, if you're going to the CDC website to fill out a form to determine whether or not you're comfortable sending your kid back to school, it seems like you're overdoing it at that point. It seems like you're going to a step that you don't have to take.
No, but here's the thing. Like, the reason why I was drawn to it is because I have a ton of parent friends who, before we decided it was announced that we are not going back, it's 100% distance learning, which is a whole other thing for me. There were a lot of people who were nervous about the decision. And so, much like, in my opinion, a lot of government things, like this comes out a little bit. I mean, we're what, a week away from school starting, and now we get to process our feelings on how we're going to make the decision.
Right.
And that's what I thought it was going to do. And it doesn't even do that. I think that people that are wired closer to like you and I, Gary, is that it's easier for us to make a decision. But there's a lot of parents that are out there that they really struggle. And I'm not trying to bag them or make fun, because I think what it is that there's a part of them that wants the kid to go to school, because getting that live instruction, being able to interact with their friends is so beneficial. But they're worried that, like, it's a very exaggerated example of your kid wakes up and goes, oh, I don't feel good, you know? And I do this all the time where I'm like, you're fine. You're fine. Just have some breakfast. You're all right. And then you have that occasion where you come back and you get a call because your kid just painted the nurse's office with his vomit. And you're like, why would you send this kid to school? Why are you a horrible parent? And I think that the coronavirus is a very extreme example of that, where you want your kid to go to school because it's what's best for him. But, of course, nobody wants their kid to get sick or their kid to accidentally make somebody else sick.
Well, I mean, we've talked about the issue of sending kids back to school over and over and over again about who is most at risk in the event that there is some sort of an outbreak at school, right? I mean, studies that I have read, and I'm not saying I've read all of them, but the ones that I have read and seen show that COVID-19, if a kid gets it, COVID-19 does not wreak havoc on their bodies the way it would somebody who's 65 or older. And in most cases, a kid who tests positive for it is never going to show symptoms at all. So that's not who is at risk. I mean, to your point about this being sort of like, am I doing the right thing? It's not that your kid is at risk. It's the question of
your kid spreading it around.
Right. Who would they transmit it to if they had it?
And then that person would have to, so the incomparable Gary and Shannon show talked about this story. I heard it while I was in my car, where you talked about Sweden left their schools open. Finland did not, right? And that they found that there was no statistical difference between the amount of kids that contracted coronavirus versus kids that were going to school with zero, like, rules, nothing, and kids who were staying at home and doing distance learning, right? That blew my mind, and I dug into it. And the only downside that I found, based on what I did, what I dug into, is that Sweden did have a higher death rate than any other country, but 95% of those people were over the age of 60. So the real risk is to the elderly, which I think everybody's been kind of beating that drum, and nobody's trying to say, let's thin the herd of the elderly, right? That's not my point either. But I do think if you don't have grandma or grandpa living at home with you, right, that we could arguably statistically have 70 to 80% of our kids back in school getting live instruction. I mean, right now in Burbank, I think, listen, I love my school district. I love everybody involved. but we got a really bad program. Like, they're doing 4 days a week, and on the fifth day, there's nothing. Everything is distance learning, and it's the idea is, and I've never been a teacher, so I don't want to come across like a bagging on teachers. There's a lot I don't know about this, but what doesn't make sense to me is that the amount of instruction, a friend pointed out to me, did the math. On an average school week, kids get 27 hours of instruction. Under this model, they're getting, I think it's like 10 hours for the course of the week. During the regular school week, a teacher has 10 hours to prepare and do lesson prep. The instruction time is being cut in half, but they have 13 and a half hours to spend in planning their lessons now. It's not a good balance. We should at least have kids in the schools for 5 days a week, half a day, maybe. I even saying that out loud, it makes me worry that maybe there's something that I'm missing. But I can't help but feel.
You make a great point about the numbers there, and I think that that's something that's been missed a lot of times. Is if you were to carve out, even if you made an entire list of people who are potentially at risk, whether it's kids who live in multi-generational households, kids with underlying health conditions, teachers with underlying health conditions, and I include, 65 plus in that, that if you were to carve out all of those people and make carve outs for every single one of those, that you still have 75% of that school population, staff, faculty, and students that are willing, able, and capable of being back in class. And then we accommodate those other 25%, whether that's online learning that's supplemented, basically a live camera within the classroom, or some sort of hybrid version of learning for those kids who are going to be at risk or whose households may have somebody who are at risk. That you could get the vast majority of kids and faculty back on campus without creating a cesspool of doorknob licking COVID patients.
Right. And I always talk to my kids about natural consequences, right? And there's a fear that I have underlying all of this is that I think that the real reason why we're seeing what we're seeing in the schools here in Southern California has more to do with a litigious society, that all it's going to take is a teacher, going to school, right, or even a kid, if somebody contracts it, and then that goes away, because we're talking about city governments who are connected to county governments and state governments, that's a big piggy bank that people could just cash in all day long. And I'm not even saying that in that case, like if your kid gets ill or a family member gets ill and dies, I'm not even trying to argue that you're not entitled necessarily to that money. I can't argue the damages, but
it looks like a lot of school districts are definitely using the liability issue as they create the rules for going back, and they have to. I mean, legally, their lawyers are telling them that they have to consider that because we are a community of apples.
But I wish that was a part, and I hate this word narrative. I wish that was what I'm not hearing that. I'm hearing it's for the safety, it's for the good of the kids. I wish that somebody could get out there and say, listen, we don't want to get our butts sued, so everybody's staying at home.
Well, you hear it here on the Gary and Shannon Show, don't you?
Justin, right. Can you hold on? Billy writes to us and says, Justin Worsham is so bitchin' and funny.
More, don't forget hot.
More with Justin.
I feel like we haven't been talking about my attractiveness.
Well, we haven't seen you.
Yeah, we can't attest to that. We used to be able to say, I got eyes on this guy. That's one hot potato. Now we go, he sounds nice.
Yeah.
Am I the only one still not allowed in the building, or is it still like
a no? We're all back.
There? Yeah, we're all back. We're just.
Oh, Nick told me I'm not allowed. Maybe I need to take it up with Viverka.
Yes.
Gary and Shannon will continue.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Justin Worsham has joined us. We talk about all things going on in the parenting world. There's an interesting study in the journal Developmental Psychology about over-controlling parents. We might call them helicopter parents or whatever, but that they interfere with the ability of kids to regulate their emotions and control behavior, and that a less controlling approach is good for the mental health, not just of the kids, but of the parents as well.
Mm.
Yeah, we've talked about this on other segments about how, like, there's more and more statistical data that says, like the snowplow parenting, the lawnmower parenting, the more you fight the instinct to make your kid's life easier, as, stupid as that or antithetical to the point that may sound, the better off your kid is. But that's what I like about this one is this one also points out the advantages of your own mental health as a parent, where if you're not there kind of constantly trying to stimulate your kid or find all these things, like you can actually have some you time because your kid is independent, that it's beneficial for everybody, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they refer to it as something in this study. They refer to it as the respectful approach intervention.
Yes.
Where you treat your younger kid as a capable and independent human being, which is, I mean, that's a little weird. They can't even clean up their underpants off the floor, but, you know, you're supposed to treat them as capable and independent.
But it's National Underwear Day.
What?
Yeah. Wait, you just found out?
Listen, I'm in a hole, evidently.
It's
2 p.m. I don't think I've changed underwear since this whole thing started.
Oh, well, today might be the day. Today might be the day.
Well, we'll see. But the reason I wanted to talk about this today is because we spent, you know, all the things talking about what's going on with schools and everything, and it looks like everybody in Southern California is going to have distance learning unless Orange County can win their lawsuit against the governor with no courts being open. I can't wait. But I think that this is a little bit of a thing for you, each parent to put on their shoulder to say you don't have to stress so much about your kid's education, that the more you can kind of put it on them, sure, maybe it's arguably not as effective as if they have one-on-one learning and tutoring. But I would argue that it is more effective in what I call the life skills category of academia, which is very neglected, in my opinion, where they just learn a work ethic, right? They learn to focus on a task and to get it done. As opposed to, you know, if they're whatever they miss in arithmetic, they're going to make up in Moxie, I guess is the way I want to put it.
Moxie? What are you, from 1949?
How dare you? Listen, guys, I am very fragile here because I am missing you more than a grown man should. And I just found out 7 minutes ago that there is no more lockdown at iHeart in Burbank, that I'm just sitting here in my studio at home for no reason using my cell phone minutes when I could be there drinking all of the Hansen of Gary Hoffman, getting my promised 20-second hug. I'm waiting for that. So unbeknownst to you, I have taken measures so that I can be safely in studio, hopefully by next week.
That sounds great. We can't wait to see you. We know this is all about you wanting compliments on your attractiveness, and that's fine, too.
Yeah, it sounds like someone's been working out over COVID.
Someone's a little thirsty.
Well, just based on what I have to do to get in there, I'm going to try to find a way to show off my flattering figure, but it may not work out. But it may be photo-worthy at the worst.
We love you.
Justin, thank you.
I love you, Bart.
Justin Worsham, host of the Dad Podcast. All right, John and Ken Show is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay dry, everybody.
Blessings.
Be sure to be with us next time for further adventures of
Gary and Shannon.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.